I want to say good morning and hello to everyone at all of our venues today. Whether you're listening online or at one of our campuses, we're glad that you've joined us today as we continue in our series called Frequently Avoided Questions. And you know, it's an interesting kind of phenomenon that's happened and has been happening in our world. We live in this world, this place where so many people doubt, on the one hand, the existence of God, and yet at the same time, they believe in the supernatural. Or as one theologian said, quote, God is out, but spirits and ghosts are definitely in. And that's an interesting thing happening. Our generation, I think, has a keen emptiness. In fact, it seems to me that that would be a great word to describe our generation. It comes, I think, from the materialistic and secularized world in which we live. It's led to what I think is a voracious hunger on the part of many of us for something more. And so we search over and over again. We search for something. We search for anything that will somehow fill the void in our hearts. And as a result of that, any extraterrestrial will do, as well as a medium or an angel, or if you need one, even a minister. It seems like, we see the proliferation of all of this in the belief, you know, in mediums, astrologers, the occult. Today in America, isn't that an amazing statistic? A whopping half of us actually believe that the spirit of a dead person can come back in certain places and in certain situations. I think we as well see this in our entertainment. You know, all you got to do is turn on Netflix or turn on the television, and you got the Twilight, Dracula, Insidious series. You've got television shows. I think I got some pics of that. The Ghost Hunters, Celebrity Ghost Stories, Long Island Medium, The Dead Files, The Walking Dead, Voodoo Paranormal, Cajun Paranormal, and on and on and on we go. We are consumed in our day and age with the paranormal. And I define paranormal as that which is hidden or secret, that which is hidden or secret that is outside the range of ordinary human knowledge. And so people are voraciously running after what is out there. What is out there in the spirit world that I haven't yet experienced myself in the physical world? And so there's this great interest and curiosity in all this stuff. And yet I ask you today, is that really all it is? Is it just something we're curious about? Are we talking about just some interesting or impersonal or even harmless things that we can kind of mess with if we feel like it? And what about seances or witchcraft or horoscopes or Ouija boards? And where does God and angels and demons and life after death kind of fit into all of this? Well, we have a curious subject for Mother's Day, and I'm going to tie it all in the end, trust me, here this morning as we talk about all of this, because we are in this series, and I wasn't saying that mothers are demons. No, that was not something that I know some of you were laughing about that, thinking that's where I was going. Not at all. We are in this. I just texted my wife, said Happy Mama's Day to her, so come on now. But we are in this series that we're calling Frequently Avoided Questions. And this is a subject that we avoid. We don't talk about this, right, for some reason. And yet a number of you have asked me about this because I know that you wrestle with it, or your children or your grandchildren are kind of into this as well. And so we want to talk about this here this morning. And let's pray, shall we, and ask for the Lord to help us and encourage us here today. Father, I want to thank you so much that you speak into the issues that we face and that we wrestle with and that we see happening all around us, God. I pray that you will be glorified this morning, that Satan will be kept at bay as we talk about these important things. May everything that we say and all that we do be glorifying to your great name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number one, let's turn together in our Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. And the first thing I want us to think about is this idea that we live in what I want to call today a contested universe. That you and I live and exist, we don't always see the contests that are happening. We don't always see the battles that are going on, but we live in this thing that we're going to call today a contested universe. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, the Apostle Paul is trying to help us get a grasp on this. And he says this, "Finally, be strong in the Lord." It's a huge line there, I think, when we talk about this. "And in his mighty power, put on the full armor of God." And you know this passage, you know that farther on, he describes what that full armor of God is. "So that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil." We ought to be underlining all those things in the heavenly realms. And so, number one, church, the Bible teaches us that we live, that there's another dimension to what we know here in this life. There is a supernatural, there is a spiritual world that we're calling here today a contested universe. Contested universe. I want you to see some of what Paul is saying there in this text. It's inhabited by spiritual beings. Those spiritual beings are powerful. They are authorities, Paul said. They rule the dark world, Paul says. Their activity intersects with life here on this planet Earth. And so you and I are certainly physical, mental, emotional beings, but we are also spiritual. And this part of the universe can interact with us and with life on this. Paul's saying to us that this is what I want to call an open war. This is, we don't always see it, but it's happening all around us. The purposes, the person, the plans of God are at stake. And I also believe today, and this is huge, that this is the ultimate contest of your life and mine. And so let me just say to you today, church, I believe that most of the issues that we have in life, in family, in our jobs, and even in our marriages, I would even say especially in our marriages, are spiritual issues. Spiritual issues. The result of this contest. Your biggest problem in life is not your husband or your wife or your kids or your mother or father or your mother-in-law. Your biggest issue in this life is not a disease that you might be wrestling with. Your biggest issue in this life is not your weird neighbor. In fact, you might be the weird neighbor, by the way, just FYI. No, listen to me, church. There is what Paul is saying. There's a huge battle going on in the unseen world. Listen to me this morning. That battle is going on for your soul, for your integrity, for your marriage, for your kids, for your grandkids, for our church, for everything that we love and everything that we value and are involved. We live in this contest. This is a dope slap thought of reality today. We live in this contested universe. It's a reality that all of us face. And we've been facing it for hundreds of years. I love the story that John Payton, he was a missionary back in the late 1800s. He ministered in this New Hebrides island place way back in the day, first one to ever go there. In his autobiography, he writes, quote, "I went to the sound of cannibal drums, but I left to the sound of church bells." I love that line. And he has a great story of one night when he was at his home there and the cannibal tribe that was there around him came to kill his family. And they weren't able to do it for whatever reason, that the whole mess of them came to their little hut, and they surrounded their hut that night, and they were there to kill them and in the end to eat them. But that tribe could not do it. They were protected. And later on, the chief of that tribe and that entire tribe came to faith in Jesus Christ through this man's ministry. And the chief later on, you know, came to him and he said, "You remember that night we all came around your house?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I got to ask you a question. What were those white, powerful beings doing surrounding your house that night?" Wow. I think of what David wrote when he said, "He will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." We live in a contested. Secondly, today, what are the dynamics of this contest? What is going on, and what are the forces that we need to think about in reference to this? Well, there are two main characters, and only two, in this contest. There are what I want to call the forces of evil. That would be Satan and his demons, and the forces of good. That would be God and his angels. And so let's talk a little bit about these beings here today. Let's first of all talk about God's angels, the angels of God. A couple things I have there in your note. Number one, they're created by God. Angels were created by God. So this spirit world, believe it, all the way back in the beginning, created by God. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 148. "Praise the Lord. Praise him, all his angels. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created." And so as created beings, angels, we know, have intelligence. They have will. We know from other scriptures that they have the ability to choose, even like you and I do, to disobey or even to obey God. So angels, the creation of God. Secondly, angels are also powerful beings, Scripture says. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter just simply announces there, angels, he says, are stronger and more powerful than men. All right? And so I think that's pretty cool. Putting it mildly, especially when we see in the book of 2 Kings that one angel alone, I think 2 Kings chapter 6 is it, or 7, one angel alone killed 185,000 men in one night, just like that, in that passage. We know we get to the book of Revelation, and as God is kind of unfolding, you know, the end of the world as we know it, we know that eventually the universe and the world gets destroyed, and it's largely done by the power of seven angels. Think about that. Seven angels alone in the end destroy the universe. And so angels are powerful beings. And then also, there are many, many angels. There are many angels. Jesus once said that he could call down. Remember that time? He said, "I could call down 12 legions of angels here in this situation." Well, a legion was about 5,000 men. So Jesus is saying, you know what, right now I've got at my disposal about 60,000 of them. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about thousands and thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Revelation chapter 5, talking about the voices of 10,000 times 10,000 angels being lifted up, glory to God, to the throne of God. I love that about God and his awesome power. This is why you and I don't have to be afraid of the spirit world. Can I get a witness, church? We don't have, should we respect it? For sure. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But look at the power that is available to us through God's good angels. You know, when our son Drew was growing up, he was a handful in a lot of ways, and he might even be hearing this here this morning, but we used to say that he wore his guardian angels out. That was our family joke. And we would say, some of you probably have a child like that in your family. We would describe that the one who was guarding him would eventually get back to heaven and hand over the responsibility to the next guardian angel, and he would say, "It's your turn now." Some of us, some of you probably have kids, or maybe even have some grandkids like that. And so there's angels. Secondly, I want to talk a little bit about Satan and his demons, because that is the other part of the spirit world. I want us to notice a few things. First of all, I want us to see that Satan himself, a fallen creation of God, and the same is true for his angels. So the demons, I believe as well, were originally created by God, but they went with Satan and became a part of his force. But look at what the book of Isaiah says. Isaiah 14, this is a powerful passage of scripture that describes for us who Satan is, who he was, and why we believe that he is a fallen angel that was created by God. Look what it says here in Isaiah chapter 14. So we're talking here, this is the writer talking about Satan. How you have fallen from heaven, morning star. That's a huge name of honor. Son of the dawn, you have been cast down to earth. You who once laid low the nations. So Satan was created as a powerful, maybe even an archangel at one time. But you said in your heart, and notice this, I will ascend to the heavens. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the Mount of Assembly, on the utmost height of Mount Zaphon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. And then this one, I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of the dead, to the depth of the pit. Wow. And so, church, Satan was probably one of the most powerful of the angels. But the heart of his fall was what, church? What was it? Pride. I will do this. I will do that. I will exalt myself above God. And so Satan is not all-knowing or all-powerful because look at what it said there. God cast him down, but he was an angel who gave in to pride and declared all-out war on God. And while he is not God, church, listen to me this morning, he should be taken very seriously, especially because of what Jesus said about him. And that's the second and third and fourth thing I want you to see here. I want you to see what Jesus said, some of the most interesting things about Satan and his minions. In John chapter 8, Jesus said that they are murderers. Murderers. Look at what Jesus said. You belong, he's talking now to the Pharisees. So he had some pretty strong things to say to the Pharisees. Look at what he said. He goes, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desires. And so now he's talking about Satan and his minions. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. He's a murderer. Let me ask you something today. Who do you think celebrated the killings last week in Colorado? I mean, come on. Is that not satanic? When people walk into a school, and blow kids away? Who do you think celebrated what happened in Sri Lanka? 9/11, Parkland, Sandy Hook. Listen to what Jesus is saying there. He's not saying that Satan is cute. He's not saying Satan is a little naughty. He's saying that Satan is evil, he is malicious. He destroys people, and he loves when people go to a Christless eternity. He's a murderer. Let's call him out today for who he really is. Secondly, Satan and his demons are also liars. Liars. Lying liars. Look at what it says there at the second half of John 8:44. It says, when he lies, he speaks his native language. Wow. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus is saying that Satan is not on your side, my friend. Listen to me, everybody at all of our venues today, Satan is a liar who whispers things to us like that bad is actually good, right? That wrong is somehow actually right, that what is false is actually true. Satan lies. He wants us to go against God's word. He tells us that going against God's word is smart and logical and even rational. No, he's a liar. Our best life is always when we decide to walk with Jesus. Not only is he a liar and a murderer, but I want you to also see today that he is a defeated foe, a defeated foe. This is, I think, where we get our hope. Listen to what Jesus himself said just before he went to the cross. Jesus said this in John 12, verses 31 through 33. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be, what, church? Driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. He said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. And so while Satan is defeated, and he was defeated on the cross, listen, yeah, Jesus Christ went to war on the cross for you and me. And Satan's power in our lives. Isn't that a great thought, church? That one of the reasons why he did that, one of the reasons why he was lifted up there on the cross, is so that he could destroy the works of Satan in your life and in mine. I love that about Jesus. I praise God for the fact that this is what Jesus did. And so, and of course, when Jesus rose from the grave, he was declared to be Lord over Satan and all of his minions. Pastor Dan is one of our, he's actually our campus pastor over at our East York campus, and he was telling us this past week as we were talking about this message, how when he was ministering in Brazil, there was a young man who he came in contact with who was a Satanist. And he painted his room black, and his nails were black, and his lipstick, put lipstick on his on him that was black, and he just believed that Satan was the ultimate power. And his father remarried a woman who was demon-possessed, and she brought kind of all that as well with her into their home. And one night, she stood in front of this young man, and in a voice that was not her own, she looked at him and said, "Into him I cannot go." And this young man was kind of dope-slapped with what happened there. He thought to himself, hold it a second. She's demon-possessed, and she's saying, or that whatever spirit inside of her is saying, that there's something that it cannot do. And it made him think to himself, is there a power higher than Satan out there? And that night, that young man had a Bible in his house, and he read all the way through the New Testament. At the end of the night, he received Christ as his Savior. He ended up going to Bible college, Word of Life Bible College. And later on, his mom wrote to Pastor Dan and said, thank you, my son is transformed. You know how I knew he was transformed? He wanted to paint his bedroom blue. He said he painted his bedroom blue. He took all of his satanic books out in the backyard, and we burned them the other night. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for your work in my son's life. You know, some of you work with young people. You've probably, I know as a pastor, I've heard hundreds and hundreds of stories like this down through the years. Let me tell you something, church. You ought to get this down today. Satan has as much power as God allows, and not a whit more. You ought to think about that. Study the life of Job and see where God said to Satan, you can go so far, but that's all you're going, bro. You're going to stop right there. But Satan is not your friend. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to fill you with sin. He wants to get you down. He wants to get you dependent on drugs or sex or alcohol or food or whatever. He wants to own you. He wants to own you. But if you know Jesus, you have inside of you a power greater than Satan. Can I get a witness, church? That's the third thing I want to say here this morning. There is hope for those of us who follow Jesus. As powerful and destructive as Satan is, if you have a Bible, you can turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. I love this verse. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You know who wrote this verse? The Apostle John wrote this verse. You know what the Apostle John saw over and over again? He saw Jesus own Satan and his minions over and over again. He saw Jesus demonstrate his power over Satan and his minions. Glory to God, over and over and over again. And that's why he wrote these words about you and me about 50 years later. He was an old man when he wrote these words, but listen to what he said. You, dear children, are from God. That's you. That's me. And have overcome them. Who's them? You got to read earlier what he's talking about. Satan and the Antichrist and everything Satan wants to do. He's saying to us, look, you've overcome them. Because, let's read it together, church. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Glory to God for that. The authority of Jesus Christ extends over all evil, no matter where it's found. And that authority lives inside of our hearts. I could stop right here, but I've got a few more things to say. Number one, in your notes, you don't want any part of this evil. Neil Anderson has a great quote in one of his books. He says, quote, if you want to get rid of the flies, you've got to throw out the garbage. And you know, today there are so many subtle, seemingly innocent things where Satan and his team seduce to engage the dark side. Ouija boards, mediums, palm readers, astrologers, witches, music, some of the media you and I consume, horoscopes, dream catchers, crystals. Listen to me this morning. All of that stuff, whether we know it or not, we are engaging in the forces of darkness when we engage with that stuff. We're playing with fire. You don't want any part of this evil spirit world. If you're messing with it, take it out like you take the garbage out. Get it out of your life. Number two, put on the whole armor of God. That's what Paul said there, right? He said, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground after you've done everything to stand. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, he said, we should pray, deliver us from the evil one. So you ought to pray this. I pray that over myself every single day. I prayed over my wife and my kids and my grandkids. Oh God, deliver us from the evil one. What am I talking? I'm talking about that unseen contest that's going on for the souls of people that I love. Put that armor on, my friend, every single day. Walk with God. Honor him. And then finally today, stay in community. Stay in community. What do I mean by that? I'm saying we need each other to fight this battle. You ever see one of those videos where a few lions attack a whole herd of buffalo? You ever see that? And you know, those lions, they kind of like go all around that big herd of buffalo, and they're looking for the weakest link right there, right? And so maybe it's a little buffalo, a water buffalo that's hurt or something, and they, in the end, while the herd just kind of stands there and looks, they pounce on that little one, and they take it down. Now, let me ask you something today. Don't you think that if that herd just turned on those two or three lions, that they would chase them away for sure? Oh, yeah. But they don't. They run. Church. I've seen it happen 100 times. Satan separates us from each other. He gets us angry. He gets us mad at some Christian. He gets us doubting the Word of God. He gets us mad at the church. He separates us from the herd. And when we get separated from the herd, then he intensifies his attacks on us to bring us down. Hear me this morning, church. We have to stay together as a congregation. Can I get a witness here today? Ma, here I am, and I'm there. Moms and dads, we have a huge, huge responsibility here. Grandmas and grandpas, we've got to close in. We don't want Satan to do anything to us, our kids, our grandkids, our fellow believers. We've got to stay together as a congregation. We've got to stay in community. We've got to stay walking with God and be humble before God and before each other and pray for each other. Because, listen to me today, it is in community that God gives us victory. Let me say that again. We're in for a battle for the hearts and souls of our kids, and it's in community that God gives us victory. God is bigger than anyone or anything that will ever come against us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning and our hearts before the Lord. I wonder today, on this Mother's Day,